My name is Becca Marsh, and I'm so thankful to be here tonight to share of God's faithfulness and mercy in my life during these last 4 years while my husband Sam has attended the Master's Seminary. To share some of my story before we came to TMS, I was born into a Christian family, the youngest of three, on a farm in rural Minnesota. When I was 3 months old, my dad passed away in an accident. And after that, my mom moved us to a nearby city, and in God's providence, when I was the age of three, he brought a recently widowed pastor and his 12-year-old daughter into our lives. So we were blessed to combine families later that year. Before my mom remarried, I was the center of my family's attention as a little person, and I had a difficult time adjusting to my new, more lowly position in life with my new dad as the boss of our family. So when I was four, during an Awana's felt board lesson, I saw and heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Jesus came to earth as a baby, lived a perfect life, died for my sins, and then rose again that I might live forever with him. So later that night, I went home and prayed for Jesus to live inside my heart. As I grew in my faith and understanding of the gospel and of my heavenly father, I more willingly learned to submit to my new earthly father. Over the years, I grew in my faith as I attended a Christian school, was faithfully discipled at home and at church, and eventually attended a Christian college in Central Virginia. The Lord was very kind to provide all of those opportunities and guidance for me. So I met my husband, Sam, when I was 19 and he was 23, while in our college Sunday school class. He had grown up in North Carolina, graduated high school, enlisted in the Army, left the Army, and then had come to college with the intention of going into the ministry. After a few months of knowing one another and the Lord softening my affections towards Sam, I liked somebody else. we started dating, and we knew very quickly that we wanted to get married. Though we had planned to get married on a warm, green day in May of 2020, once we were faced with the prospects of COVID lockdowns, we married on March 27th, which, if you don't know, is like the ugliest time of year in Minnesota, in my parents' living room with 13 guests, just hours before the state of Minnesota shut down. We stayed in Virginia one more year for Sam to finish his undergraduate studies while he discerned which seminary he should go to. And I started working for a company in Virginia as a material planner using my business degree. Even though he could have attended one for free, and with much cheaper cost of living, none of the Southern Baptist seminaries attracted him like the in-church model of TMS. So in the spring of 2021, Sam applied to TMS and got in the same day. With the Lord opening door after door, like allowing my job to become fully remote, and with one whole year of marriage under our belt, we drove to California. Having never been to California before and not knowing a soul, we showed up here on Grace Church's campus Sunday, July 4th, 2021. As providence would have it, it didn't take long for the trials to begin. In the second month of Sam's first semester, we got COVID, and it took him the rest of the semester to catch up. I'm sure we've all been there. But coming out here, he knew that TMS was going to be academically rigorous, but it was more challenging than he could have imagined, and he didn't know if he could handle it. As his support and helpmate, I often reminded myself of all the ways that God had led us to be at Grace and TMS. I knew it was where we were supposed to be, even though it was really hard. Well, our first Christmas break came, and so did the exciting news that we were expecting a baby. Yay. The pregnancy started out routine, but on 2/22/2022, I'll always remember, a Tuesday evening when Sam had a late class, I was alone in our sketchy Canoga Park apartment when I got a call from my OB that our baby had a 95% chance of having Down syndrome, the most common chromosomal abnormality where there are three copies of the 21st chromosome instead of two. This can cause a wide range of health issues for the baby and comes with physical and mental disabilities. That call came to me as a complete shock, and it rocked my world. I was 23, and I felt so incredibly inadequate. We were fairly new to this place. Our family was across the country, Sam was super busy with school, and I only knew a few scary things about Down syndrome. All of the questions of how this was going to work and all the unrealized expectations I had for my future shattered my reality. I felt like my whole world, my whole life, and my whole future had changed. That summer between our first and second year was one of the darkest and most stressful times in my life. Every song we sang at church made me teary, and I would cry myself to sleep more often than not, as I was scared of my future and of who my baby would be. I knew theology, and I never doubted God's goodness, but everything I believed about God, I had to believe as if I was suddenly in the dark. I knew James 1, but during that time, it was so hard to read it and believe it for myself. Consider it all joy, my brothers, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith brings about perseverance. And let perseverance have its perfect work, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Well, carried by the prayers of many at this church and in this room, at the start of our third semester, our beautiful daughter Vivian was born. Okay. Vivian means alive. And her middle name, Jane, means gift from God. I didn't cry at home during this part. Okay. She did have Down syndrome, as the blood test had predicted. And Sam and I jumped into parenthood and the world of raising a medically complex child, while also juggling my full-time job and Sam's heavy class load. She was in the NICU for 17 days as she struggled to oxygenate. And once again, we were reliant on God to carry us through the semester. When she came home, my days with her consisted of me working remotely early in the morning, scheduling doctor appointments, calling insurance, having weekly therapies, and somehow figuring out what was for dinner. In the middle of our fourth semester, when Vivian was 6 months old, she had a vomiting episode that prompted us to call an ambulance. Later that week, she was diagnosed with a lung condition called congenital lobar emphysema, a condition that she was born with where part of her lung had an abnormal cell structure that was growing larger, trapping air, and eventually putting pressure on her heart and esophagus. She had emergency surgery to remove that part of her lung. And once again, we were carried by the prayers of many in this church, in this room, and even around the world as we walked through that complex surgery and 12-day hospital stay. Looking back, God was so gracious every step of the way, protecting Vivian and giving us the discernment that we needed. But to say that we were burnt out after our second year was an understatement. Everything in us was hurting. How were we supposed to survive another 2 years of seminary? You know the answer. But by God's great mercy. In God's great mercy, he carried us through when we felt our weakest. He renewed us each day for the tasks we had before us. We prayed so hard that God would give us the strength to carry out what we believed that he had called us to do as we went into our third year. The verses of Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 through 24 supported me. The loving kindnesses of Yahweh are new, or they indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Yahweh is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I wait for him. God heard our cries and renewed us and gave us the strength that we so desperately needed. He gave us wisdom. He provided the funding again and again for us to be here through the generous support of school donors, property managers, and even my sister and her husband, who have sorry, who have paid for our gasoline for the past 3 years. He has provided the people of Grace Church, especially our beloved sojourners. Gotta slow down. And the Woodland Hills Bible Study, who have helped us so many times in so many ways. And the women in this room, many of whom have become some of my sweetest friends. God provided your companionship during many of my weakest and most vulnerable moments. I can't even look at you. I will cherish you forever. Thank you. These past 3 years with my journey with Vivian and learning to love the assignment that we've been given in raising a child with a disability has given me new perspective on the juxtaposition of two truths from Scripture. First, from 1 Corinthians 10:31, that man's primary purpose is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. And second, from Romans 8:28, that God works all things together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. About their intersection, Joy Hunter said, God is constantly molding and shaping us into a position that most glorifies him and is also for our most enjoyment. We don't know the purpose always, and there may be sometimes when you must cling to the Lord. And those are the moments where we find our deepest obedience and where the faithfulness of God is so ultimately revealed to us in a way that it's not when things are going well. This describes my journey with Vivian and also our time in seminary. These years of refining have made me a humble servant in the Master's hand, wholeheartedly ready and willing to live for him. To bring us to present day, my Vivian is 2.5 and thriving by God's grace. She's so beautiful and so smart. She is a caring big sister to our second daughter, Ruth, who was born last fall and is just a gift. To know her is to be loved by her. She will always have her unique medical and physical challenges, but I know that raising her and knowing her will be the privilege of my life, and I'm confident that she will be nothing but a benefit to our future ministry. What was once a bitter pill that I swallowed, I now sing with the psalmist in Psalm 16:6. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. On a practical note, during this season, while Sam has been dedicated to his studies, the Lord has provided a way for me to work 30 to 40 hours a week remotely with East Coast hours starting at 5 a.m. This has taken some creativity and grit and lots of sustaining grace. Since Vivian came along, each semester I've reassessed and prayerfully considered if and how much I should work, and God has always mercifully given me the strength through short nights and morning sickness and whatever else thrown our way. He has given me the endurance that I've needed and filled in the gaps where I lacked. Especially now in this season where my youngest has yet to sleep through the night, the Lord has been admonishing me to not idle sleep, but to remember that he is the strength of my heart and my portion forever, and that in him I lack no good thing. I say this to encourage you to not grow weary in the many daily responsibilities that God has called you to do in this season while your husband is in this unique time of studying. And to be reminded that the Lord is the one who knows and provides for your needs and gives you the necessary strength. And as for our future plans, after that blessed day comes graduation. My husband desires to be an associate pastor teaching and training healthy church members, most likely in the States, most likely maybe in the Midwest, you tell me and we both know, and we are prayerfully pursuing this, but we trust that the Lord will open the right door in his timing and will provide for us in the meantime. And while we wait, we will keep serving here at Grace and soak up the overflowing richness of the teaching here until the Lord makes it clear on where we should go. Okay, and finally, since my audience here is seminary wives, I just have to give you two parting advices. Number one, if you don't already know it yet, your number one job as a seminary wife is to be your husband's cheerleader. Sisters, Don't you ever put your pom-poms down. When he's questioning his every life decision, he needs to hear that you believe in him and that you're on his team no matter what. Cheer loud and proud and with all you've got. Never let it cross your lips that you don't want to be here. Your words have a special impact on your husband, so let them only be supportive of his schooling and also your situation in seminary. Okay, number two, use this unique time in your life to invest in relationships here. You need them. You won't make it without them. Let the body of Christ love you well and learn to love them back. The seeds of friendship planted here are seeds worth planting. And in my book, tears cried, saying hard goodbyes, are tears well spent. Let God show you his faithfulness through the body of Christ while you are here. So our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thank you so much for allowing me to share this testimony with you of God's faithfulness and mercy in my life. And I pray that it continues to encourage you to continue running faithfully to the praise of his glory.